Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lassiter, and Corey Labounty.
Good morning and welcome to the Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha, coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in the heart of Mobile. And I do want to remind all my buddies and friends in New Orleans and Biloxi, yeah, Mobile is the home of Mardi Gras. We always knew, we're approaching that pretty quickly around here, and I want you folks to remember that we are the home of Mardi Gras. We love listening to y'all talk about Mardi Gras, but we are the genesis of it. Good morning, Corey Labounty.
Good morning, Rick Cleveland. And speaking of Mardi Gras, we have the tailgaters and alumni all in for the Gulf Coast Challenge today from Southern University and Alabama A&M. Kick off at 4 o'clock. And those Southern Jaguar fans don't like to hear that Mobile's the official home of Mardi Gras. But welcome to Mobile, the official home of Mardi Gras.
Mark Lassiter, good morning, pal.
Good morning, guys. How's everybody today?
Well, everybody's a little bit better, and I know you got to feel a little better. You played a tough juggernaut team last night in T.R. Miller. From past years, they've kind of moved kind of closer to the pack now. But you guys, with so many injuries, you guys at Bayside put up a tremendous battle against those Tigers from T.R. Miller.
Well, you know, and that's one thing I'll always say. Phil Lazmi does as good a job as anybody I've ever been around about making adjustments and trying. You know, when you got guys that are hurt and injured, you know, it's the next man up philosophy that he brings from the military, and that's what he teaches our kids, and our kids believe in it. They stepped up, and we had a chance to win the ball game last night. Just didn't quite get it done, but proud of the way the kids fought, and also congratulations to T.R. Miller. Got a good little season going on.
Guys, I've got a little commentary I want to give in the last part of this segment. With this morning, we want to go through the local scores, and Corey, if you'll start us off with 7A.
In 7A action last night, what could have been, would have been, the biggest upset in the history, to me, of 7A football. McGill Tulane in double overtime beats the MGM Vikings at MGM 17-10. On Thursday night, Fairhope defeated Davidson 45-17. Baker gets their first win of the season. Congratulations to the Baker Hornets. They won 17-0 over Foley. And Theodore defeated Alma Bryant last night 27-7.
In 6A, excuse me, 6A, I had to clear my throat. St. Paul's 21, Gulf Shores 0. Spanish Fort 49, BC Rain 12. Saraland 35, Robertsdale 0. Blount 27, Baldwin County 7.
In 5A, Vigor. Boy, what a big win. They go to Jackson and beat Jackson 40-6.
Man.
Citronelle continues. I think they moved to 4-0. Citronelle 40, Faith Academy 14. We'll have Jack French on, the head football coach at Faith Academy, on in our 9 o'clock segment. Satsuma 45, Wilcox Central 22. And over in Talladega County, listening on the Big Yay, 106.5. The Sylacauga Aggies fell to the Mortimer Jordan, 12-7.
In 4A action, UMS Wright defeated Clark County 35-7. Williamson blanks Monroe County 56-0. Escambia County defeats WS Neal 46-14. Childersburg defeats Hanley 42-26. And Lincoln defeats Talladega 17-7.
And in 3A, T.R. Miller beat Bayside Academy last night 21-14. Mobile Christian 27. Thomasville 7. Flomaton 45. St. Michael 6. Randolph County 32. B.B. Comer 6.
In 2A, Cottage Hill. Boy, they just continue to roll, and Chris Brazil has done a great job. And we'll have Chris on a little bit later on this morning. Cottage Hill defeated Chickasaw 34-12, Leroy 35, Washington County 20, Southern Choctaw 52, J.U. Blackshear 14, and in 1A, St. Luke's 34, Marengo 14, and Millry 35, McIntosh 14. You know, guys, we follow high school football and have followed it for 17 years here. Corey and I, and Mark, you've jumped on board with us in the last 5 years or so, and you know, one of the things that we are, our kind of our MO, our passion, is that we want to be a part of building players and coaches and officials up. This past week, the principal at Baker High School made the decision to terminate the football contract of Danny Smith. And this greatly disturbs me. I know that probably they've been on a little losing streak. They've lost 10 of 11 last games they've played. But, you know, Baker's never really won until Jack French arrived. And when Jack got there, he brought in a young defensive coordinator by the name of Danny Smith, who was a very well-known assistant here in the Mobile area. And it seems to me that this decision was made kind of on spur of the moment. When I say spur of the moment, I'm sure that the principal has spent a lot of time thinking about this decision, because football, the way the football team goes in high school sports, the school generally follows that. And Mark, you know that as well as I do. That's something, if that football team's doing well, there's going to be an attitude around the school that is just better. It's just a better attitude like that. And I just think that to fire a coach three games into the season is just not a well-thought-out idea. And I think Danny Smith is a man that loves Baker High School. He's given his life the last 3 years to Baker High School. And to dismiss him at a time when the season's just getting started, I just think it was just not a very prudent decision to terminate him at that point in time. Now, I'm not going to get into all the things that go into that. I'm sure there were certain parents that probably called and complained because their child wasn't playing and whatever, so forth. But I just think the decision to fire a coach three games into the season is not a good season at the high school level. This is not NC2A football. This is not the NFL. This is high school football, and you will not find any coach in any area of this state that does more to prepare young men to be better husbands and better fathers when they get to that stage of their life than Danny Smith. And I, for one, and I'm sure Mark has a comment to make on that, and maybe Corey too, but I, for one, think this is a bad decision, and I disagree with it, and I'm not going to go any further than that. And I will give this platform right now. The principal at Baker High School has an open invitation at any time if he wants to speak on this radio show to talk about that decision, and I know that personnel things are not stuff that they like to talk about. I understand that. I've been on that side of the cup too. I understand from an administrator's point that you don't talk about terminations. I just think it was a bad time, but making this mid-season decision to fire a coach without a hint of controversy, I mean no controversy. Even the principal, he praised Coach Smith as a high-character guy and a good man while kicking him to the curb. And if there's not already enough pressure to win, and to win yesterday for today's high school coaches, mid-season coaching changes simply ratchet up the pressure. Maybe that makes coaches more brazen to recruit and continue the free agency trend that's becoming the norm instead of the exception in high school sports. But I get it. Coaches get fired all the time. Gone are the days when a coach's character means more than his record. The principal sent a clear message. It's all about winning. Be good or be gone.
To me, I'm with you on that, Rick, in the fact that in high school football, it is a very it is the last pure form of football that there is in our country.
Right.
No money involved, nothing but high school kids playing the game for the love of the game. And I can also assure you of this: it's coaches who coach this game because they want to teach children about being football players, student athletes, sons, brothers, future husbands. These are the things that they're taught in high school football. And I have never been a proponent. If there's something going on that is controversial morally or ethically,
absolutely,
that's a different ball game, in my opinion. But for a coach in the third game of the year, if there's that far along before the season started, should have made a change before the school year ever started.
Absolutely.
That's my thoughts on it, and I'm very disappointed in what's happened.
Danny Smith handled it with class. He said, unfortunately, things happen in life sometimes we don't understand. We have to trust our God, and he knows the big picture. It's going to be a struggle in his life temporarily. He wishes the kids nothing but the best, has nothing but love, and he continues to work at Baker High School. So he's a tenured teacher who will continue to do his job and is just a high-character guy, and God does have bigger and better things for Danny Smith.
Well said, Corey. Well said, Mark. And we will hear more from Danny Smith. He'll be coaching somewhere, I can promise you that. Yeah. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5, the Big Yay 106.5 in Sylacauga, and the lake covering 43,000 acres of beautiful, beautiful Lake Martin water.
Above.
The Premier Motorsports communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. This segment of the Prep Sports Report, presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
I seen your picture. Your name. All right, welcome back to PSR, and that's Steely Dan. Of course, that's Steve Mass age. That's, those guys are, you know, they're old. Well, Steve can identify with that. I mean,
I can't. I don't.
Well,
that.
Steve can.
I've never heard of them guys. Who are they?
Steve identifies with Steely Dan, and I identify with Steely Dan. I'm not going to say anything about his golf game. Not going to say anything about his, you know, his anything else. But we're always glad to have my buddy Steve Mask on after a win. It doesn't matter, but good win. Congratulations. Good morning, Coach.
Thank you, Rick. And I actually listen to this. I actually have that album. I didn't say CD.
No, he said album.
Didn't album. Say CD.
Oh. And you'll have to draw a picture for most of the kids.
They don't know what that is.
The listening audience won't know what that is.
I know it.
They don't know what 78 speed or 33 speed. They don't know it.
33 and a third, not 33.
Shut up. You are such a... All right.
I love it.
So... You got homecoming over with. That's I know that's something that it's a big deal. It's a big deal all up and down Old Shell Road. But for us coaches, it's tough. It's a tough time because there's a lot of things that go on that we'd rather just be concentrating on football.
You remember the old show Hogan's Heroes?
Yes, yep. I do.
Yep, we do.
Sergeant Schultz says, "I see nothing.
I see my
bed." See nothing yesterday.
See nothing.
So just sort of let them roll and just hope for the best. And it worked out. You know, we didn't play our best. And,
it's great. It's kind of like when he's on the first tee, he sees nothing.
That's right. See nothing. But all those coaches get on here every week and talk about what a great job this staff does, that staff does, and all that kind of stuff. No, I think it's just a thing to say, and 99% of people do, but Matt did a great job last night at Gulf Shores. They played basketball. They went to the old Dean Smith stall game, and they stopped that thing with about 1 second left on the play clock, and the game just sort of felt like there was just not a lot of fluidity to it, but Gulf Shores did outstanding, and we did enough to win, Rick, and it was a good win. It's good to be, 4-1, and it's good to have a week off coming up next week.
You know, when you look at it, you look at Jordan Ingram, and of course he's kind of toting the load for you a little bit. Jay had a little bit better game; he's 11 for 15, and you know that's. And then Reggie Bracey gets in and scores your final touchdown. So, you know, I'm sure in that kind of game when you get ahead like that, and even I'm sure Matt just still tried to keep the game at snail's pace probably most of the game, right?
Well, it was 7-0 at the half. I mean, they just did an outstanding job. The quarterback's a really good player, and they did well. And we didn't play as bad as I thought we did. What's the old saying? It's never as good as you think it is. It's never as bad as you think it is. After I watched the tape before I came home last night, and we did some good things, but boy, we're doing some stupid things. We're getting a lot of holding calls that are unnecessary, and just wasn't a lot of great flow to the game, but. At the end of the night, we had 21. They had nothing. We were very excited about that, Mark. Anytime you take a W, you don't look back on them nowadays. That's for sure.
Absolutely, buddy. Anytime you take that, you still got, I know a week off is good. I was talking to Stape this week, and he was saying, y'all been kind of beat up and banged up and bruised up, and it's a great time to get a little recovery in, get your legs back under, because you still got Spanish Fort and Sarah Land and Daphne coming down the turnpike.
Well, we do, we're better. We're better than we were 5 weeks ago, and I think once we get all the little things, for lack of a better word, cleaned up and get a little continuity and, you know, and get Reggie a little bit more involved in the game. We were killing Jordan. You know, I don't think you can play nowadays with 31, 34 carries.
And, no, can't do it.
And we decided, we're going to get Reggie involved and try to cut Jordan's carries down about 20, 22 and that kind of thing. But, you know, we're still a work in progress, that's for sure. But I'm excited to be 4-1 at this point. I'd love to be 5-0, but to be 4-1 after five games with the newness of what we're going through, you know, it feels pretty good.
That's right. You are new to 6A Region 1 football. And, Coach, if I'm looking at your schedule correctly, next week is it that you have Spanish Fort, or do you have a bye week then go to Spanish Fort?
We have a bye week, then we go to Spanish Fort.
Okay, so that'll give you an opportunity to kind of heal up and get rested like you mentioned. But also this week, you had your St. Paul's Hall of Fame banquet to where you honored some former athletes. Talk to us about what it meant for those athletes to come back and represent St. Paul's.
Well, it was probably the largest class that's ever been inducted. There were 23 inductees that went into that thing, and all very deservingly on the football side. There's some names people were recognized: Ivan Matchett, Dustin Hood, Lewis Watson, of course, Mark Barron, and Scott Martin, and Josh Lancaster. There's some others I'm leaving out, and I apologize to them. And it's just some great athletes. And when you read those bios and see what they accomplished 10 years ago, it's amazing. And then to see where they are nowadays with their careers, it's not just in athletics, but in life itself, it's very, very impressive.
Steve, I want to get away from St. Paul's right now and talk about football in general, because between you and I and Mark, is over 100 years in this stuff, and Alabama high school football is our life.
Right.
This week, and I know that sometimes you don't mind sharing your opinion when it comes to high school sports, and I so much respect that. But it broke my heart this week to see the principal at Baker dismiss Danny Smith 3 games into the season. What are we coming to, Steve? Are we high school football, and now is this college football? Is this the NFL? What are we doing?
Well, you know, I'm with you. I mean, you know, I'm of the opinion that, you know, if somebody had done anything egregious, and obviously Danny hadn't, he's such a fine man, and, you know, and we know that when we get in this business, there's going to be an opportunity for it to be told to go somewhere else.
That's right.
And quite frankly, I've been through that too.
Yep.
And it's, you know,
we all
12
have.
And two.
Yep.
We were 12-2, and I was told to go somewhere else because it gets involved in those personalities and other different things. But, you know, I think it's a bad, bad precedent. I mean, because, you know, we're teaching our kids that when they start something to finish it,
right,
you don't have to go back and do it again when it's over with. I think the same thing, if a high school coach has been able and afforded the opportunity to start a season, they should have the right to finish the season. And, you know, we don't have guaranteed contracts. We don't have long-term contracts.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have buyouts and all those kinds of things. And, you know, Steve Spurrier quit, 7 years ago and walked off with about $20 million in his back pocket.
Yeah.
We don't have those kinds of things.
No.
So I think it's a bad precedent.
I
really, really do.
Well, and, you know, I think the thing that I think so many of us are in this to prepare, and I would hope all of us are, but there's some that aren't, and you know that as well as I do. But our job is to prepare these kids for tomorrow, to become future husbands and future fathers. And I just think this sets a precedent that teaches a kid, you know, I'm showing those kids at Baker now, well, if things aren't going good, we're going to quit, or we're going to dismiss and go in another direction.
Well, you know, we could spend a whole show on that. And,
yeah.
You know, and I'm, you know, everybody can say, well, he's private school, but he can say, oh, I'm a public school guy at heart. I was in public school for 7 years, and, it's just some things going on. You know, the way that kids are moving, and I'm going on a tangent, so stop me. But
no.
The way kids are moving around nowadays just breaks my heart. I mean, it's just, you look up every year, this guy played here last year, now he's playing here this year, and, you know, what are we teaching them there? Well, it ain't good here, so go somewhere else and play. But I don't know, I'm going to stop there because it just drives me when I see that happen all the time.
Well, we grew up in a period when you played for your neighborhood school.
That's it.
And that's what
you
it
did.
Is.
And
that's,
you did. And though that, you know, there's got to be loyalty to the coaches, there's got to be loyalty to the players, and there's got to be loyalty to the schools. I mean, it's just, that word loyalty just not near as used as much as it was with you and Mark and I were first getting into it, because that's the first thing. When Don Christian hired me at Coffin County, he said, "I don't care what you know about X's and O's, all I'm going to ask you is to be loyal to me." And to this day, I'm as loyal to that man as anybody in this world.
Absolutely.
Well, we're cut from the same mold. Yeah. All three of us just something that's the way we are. Hey, Steve.
But I'm happy. I don't move with Debbie down this morning. That was a great question about Danny, and I hope Danny, and I know Danny will land on his feet. He will. And he will coach again.
Yep.
And when we all left somewhere else, I know when I left Coffin County in 1990, I didn't think they'd win another game. And guess what? They won 3 state championships.
So that's right.
It's all going to be good.
Hey, buddy. Enjoy enjoy a little bit of time off. And
I'm going to most shows.
I hear you.
Boy, who's the head coach at Coffin County.
Yep.
They play that's for next week. So I'm going to ride the highway
good
of life for 5 hours and go see my baby boy.
Good for you, coach. That's awesome.
And tell my tennis coaching buddy hello, too, now. You know.
I do.
All right, pal. Take care, Steve.
Take care, Steve.
We'll see you
good
soon.
To talk with you.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye. Hey, we'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5 and the Big Gay and the Lake right here from Mobile, Alabama.
The Prep Sports Report is brought to you by Alpha Insurance. The PSR Scout Team Player of the Week is presented by Future Ones, providers of practice apparel and scout team jerseys with interchangeable numbers. Now, back to the show.
All right, we're talking a little bit about high school football, just a little bit. And we did forget one score. My buddy's over in Biloxi. Biloxi defeated D'Iberville last night, 21-14, Corey.
Future Ones, you know, it's where the future. They offer accessories such as custom uniforms, stock products, scout team jerseys. You can go to the Future Ones website and shop by sport for everything from basketball, volleyball, wrestling, baseball, track and field, softball, football, lacrosse, hunting, soccer, cycling, and you can also have yoga and casual gear. That's where Future Ones is leading, not to mention the scout team jerseys. That's what the innovation of Gus Smith and Trent Massey came up with, but now they're your custom full equipment apparel company, Future Ones.
You know, last night, the McGill-Tulane Yellow Jackets traveled over to Sims and played Mary Montgomery and were in a dogfight. I'm going to tell you right now, it's a double overtime win for McGill, 17-10. And we got Coach Ernest Hill on the Premier Motorsports communication lines. And I'm going to tell you, Ernest, you were in a dogfight. And I'm sure if you were watching film last week, watching MGM, you told your coaches, "Guys, this team's scary." And it came to fruition last night, pal. Even though you guys squeaked out a big, big win in double overtime, you can't take teams for granted in that region that you're playing in.
That's right. We, watching that film, man, they have a great scheme on offense, and Coach got them going good over there, and they were very scrappy on defense. We couldn't move the ball against them. We hurt ourselves a lot. But, you know, those are our guys, and myself, we took them for granted, and they almost pulled one on us last night.
Coach, sometimes that's what it takes, that eye-opening experience sometime down the season or down the line to where your team finds a way to handle adversity. You're down, it's 7-7 sometime late in the game, and then MGM goes ahead on that field goal. And tell everybody about this hook and ladder that you guys run, because I know I've watched you guys practice, and you guys do periods in practice to where you specialize in certain areas or fundamentals of the game, and your kicker turns around Bay Cummings and kicks a 47-yard field goal to tie the game up and send it into overtime.
Well, you know, on Wednesdays we do situations and stuff like that. So we was ready for it, but you know, in a game like that, you don't have to use it. But we were prepared for it. The kid perfected it, and Bay came down and he kicked a great field goal. And you know, Coach called it. We called it the play before, and the ball got batted down, and we completed it the second time, and we pitched it to the guy coming across, and Dallas coming across, and Dallas ran for another 15-20 yards, and he pitched it to the quarterback going back down the field. So the ball changed three different times.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute now. Now, you've done thrown something different at us now, Ernest. Now, here we go. We need to go back years and years when Georgia beat Alabama, or beat Alabama on the – yeah. So what you did was you ran a drag across the middle with Bo Hightower, mm-hmm. and he pitched it back to Dallas Daffin, and mm-hmm. then Daffin pitched it back to Spencer Arsenault?
Yeah, Dallas ran it after they pitched it to Dallas. He ran it for about 15, 20 yards, and after Spencer threw the ball, he started running down the sideline, and – by the time Spencer got down on the sideline, Dallas was there, and when they got ready to tackle Dallas, he pitched it to Spencer.
Yeah, well, Matt Scott's done gone ape crazy, hadn't he? I mean, he's going to put – I love that. I love that play.
I saw it in practice.
Did you?
I was like, oh, no, that's going to work, Coach, and he said, it'll work, trust me. And we saw it last night.
So Matt's done that before, I can promise you. You're talking about an offensive innovator. That guy is. And, Coach, that's a great hire. I hadn't told you that. I would tell you that privately, but I'm telling you, that's a great hire. He's a great offensive mind. And that's –
yes, sir.
I would have – hey, I don't even know if I would have pulled that one.
Hey, I'll tell you something. This is what I – Ernest, I got to tell you, I love that call. And I'll tell you why I love it. Because in reality, that is a call that – we all ran when we were like 6 or 7 years old, running around out in the backyard. You get in a huddle and you go this way and you go that way. And you practice. Now, y'all practice, don't get me wrong, but it's a great
–
I mean, it's stuff
call.
That you do when you're young, and that's what makes that ball game so much fun. Great job, Coach.
Coach, also, you look at your team. What did you learn about your team last night? Because, again, they could have folded up shop. And what did you talk to your team about at halftime to keep them refocused? Because I know the community in Sims, being on a visiting field, they were just jacked up and lit last night and just brought all the energy and continued to give MGM juice the longer they stayed in the contest.
Well, anytime somebody claim a deal to it's like a state championship. You know, we have won so much regular season games, and you know, they come out. Everybody's gonna come out. And they hoping that they can beat McGill, and they had us on the ropes. And I told them at halftime we wasn't playing very well on the offensive side of the ball. I challenged the offensive line, and you know, we came out the second half and we started moving the football a little bit, but you know, we missed some long balls that you know we had some guys open. But you know, I mean, that's part of the game. But you know, I was very proud of the football team because they could have tugged in and said, you know, this game is over. But they, you know, McGill kids, they fight to the end.
One of the biggest things, too, is Sheldon Lehman missed the game due to injury. That's your starting quarterback who's a Memphis commit. What does it mean, and how does that change your game plan when Sheldon's out, and how is his health going forward?
Well, you know, anytime you lose a player like Sheldon that's been around forever, and he was our starting quarterback last year that led us to the state championship game, and he's a leader on our football team, and anytime you lose somebody like that, it's, you know, it takes a while for the team to, you know, come back from it, but, you know, we got Dallas and we got Spencer, and, you know, we got to get those guys going, and we got to get our offensive line doing a better job, but, you know, I'm not worried about it. We'll be okay. And we just got to continue to work. We're off this week. And we're just going to focus on the game.
Coach, congratulations on a win, and that's the way we look at it as coaches. We escaped a trap and got out of it. We got a win. We just get better from here on. And but you know, when you look at Bay Cummings to come in, knowing it's the last play of the game and to kick a 47-yard field goal, that's pretty strong. That's pretty strong, Coach.
I was very proud of him. He looked at me, and he didn't have a great week of practice. And when he went out on the field, I looked at him. He looked at me. He told me. I got it.
Well,
I'm like, all right.
And you know, the kid who snapped it. Tell us the kid who snapped it and the kid who held it. That's huge.
That's huge. And you got Sam Satterwhite that held the ball. He held the snap. And Wells coming. He's actually, you know, he's our linebacker on defense.
Right.
He actually snapped the ball.
Well. Congratulations from us here, and I know you're looking forward to that week off to kind of get some people, get them well and get your legs back under you, but good luck to you the rest of the way, Coach. Enjoy talking to you.
Sure, appreciate it, man. Thank you for calling.
Take care.
Good luck, Coach.
You know, I want to tip my hat, too, to Stan McCain at MGM. You know, that's a guy comes in, and they hadn't had a whole lot of stability at MGM. Just being straight out honest with you, he's changed coaches way too much out there. And now that Stan's come in there, and he's bringing a whole lot of experience in there, and just what a great job he did preparing them for one of the better 7A teams in the state of Alabama. I can tell you, you take eight teams in the state of Alabama, and you list the top eight teams, McGill Tulane's going to be in that eight. Ain't no doubt about that.
It's just a great win, Coach Lassiter. I mean, for them to find a way to win that game again, it was improbable to me because I had them dead and buried.
Yeah, he did.
And Coach Hill, I had them dead and buried, not thinking that they would be able to find a way. And he just mentioned the hook and ladder that just was remarkable. I can't wait to see that on film and to actually see it myself, how they were able to execute it down the stretch. And again, it goes back to coaching, because proper preparation prevents poor performance. And in that situational drills, those kids were really locked in and focused in practice, and it carried over to the game.
All right, now, let's go back in history. All you guys at the lake will remember this play. Back at about 1989-90, called a play called Hitch and Pitch. And that's what I thought the coach was talking about when he said hook and ladder. It was a hitch and pitch at Mountain Brook High School. At Mountain Brook, we pitched it to Bernard Kelly. I don't remember the receiver. Somebody's going to shoot me. But it was we threw a hitch and pitch out there. He caught it, pitched it to Bernard. And once Bernard got on the corner, wasn't anybody,
no, he could fly.
Nobody in this state was going to catch it.
No, Bernard Kelly's one of the fastest kids I ever saw
play. The score was like 21-14.
Yeah.
Late in the game. I think this is right. And pitched it to Bernard, and he went like 80. Down the sideline.
No, he can fly.
Touchdown, tied the ball game up. That was the best hitch and pitch I ever saw.
I'm trying to think if that was Gene Ellison who was head coach at Mountain Brook then.
Yes.
It was Gene.
Yeah,
Gene Ellison from Sylacauga, played for Tom Calvin at Sylacauga.
Right. And then, great guy.
Man, what a great guy.
Went on after that, if I'm not mistaken. He went down into Harpersville somewhere, the little old
Coosa Valley Academy.
Coosa Valley Academy, coached there for a while.
And he went to Florida. He was at Northview in Florida for a while.
No, he didn't go. That was Partridge that went to
Jerry Partridge.
Jerry Partridge.
Right.
Gene got into selling sporting goods.
He did. That's right.
For a while.
Yeah, Jerry Partridge from Huffman went to Coosa Valley Academy.
Right.
That's exactly. I didn't think Gene went to.
No, you're right. That's right.
He did. I think he sold for. He might have sold for Hibbets, but Gene did. Gene, of course, played for Coach Calvin in Sylacauga years ago. And
Coach Lazenby coached with Coach.
He sure did.
Ellison, for quite a while at Mountain Brook.
Yeah, that hook and ladder stuff. You know, Corey, you got to throw a drag. That can't be a deep drag now.
No,
because
it's a great play.
Yeah.
It comes across the middle. You hit the guy early so he can catch, because everybody's kind of dropped off into coverage.
Right.
You throw it underneath, right in between those linebackers, then he catches it, and he wants to get rid of it before those linebackers sink on him, and he pitches the ball, and the other guy takes off.
But then they pitched it again.
I have the highlight, and I'm going to post it to @PSR's Twitter feed. John Wiggins just sent me the video that he got from a friend, and it's just remarkable because McGill, with 30 seconds left to go, was at their own 25-yard line.
That's cool.
That's awesome.
Hey, John Wiggins, I got to say a plus for him, too. Guys, if you're looking for high school graduation items, give John Wiggins a call at Jostens. Great guy, great people, great company. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Parker Dental and Orthodontics. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Welcome back to PSR. We got phone number. You know, when you do live radio, and Dalt, you know this better than most, but when you do live radio and you got the same name for different people, you just have to make sure you do it right. So we're trying to contact Melissa Jokerst, who is the band director at UMS Wright. And we wanted to talk a little bit about what's been going on at UMS this week, as we've had Yellow Week there. And so we'll try to get Melissa before the morning's over. But in the meantime, let's do this. Let's give some state scores. Mark, you and Corey, while I work on trying to get Melissa on, let's give some state scores, and Mark, if you'll do the 7A, right. And Corey, you'll jump down to 6A and swap it out a little bit. Okay?
In 7A, Auburn, 51, Jeff Davis, 23, Austin, 21, Grissom, 13, Bob Jones, 12, Gadsden City, 7, Central Phoenix City, 28, Opelika, 0, Hewitt Trustful, 44, Spain Park, 13, Hoover, 48, Oak Mountain, 20, Huntsville, 35, Sparkman, 26, James Clemens, 47, Florence, 33, excuse me, Mountain Brook, 28, Vestavia Hills, 14, Prattville, 46, Enterprise, 28, Thompson, 35, Tuscaloosa County, 0, Smith Station, and Robert E. Lee play tonight at 7 o'clock at the Crampton Bowl.
In 6A statewide scores, Athens defeats Hazel Green 37-3. Bessemer City defeats Paul Bryant 32-13. Carver-Montgomery over Dothan on Thursday night 43-7. Clay Chalkville defeats Gardendale 56-14. Coleman beats Abbeville 21-0. Decatur over Lee Huntsville 48-14. Hueytown 57, Brookwood 0. Huffman 28, Pell City 14. Jackson Olin 34, Carver Birmingham 13. McAdory 32, Selma 16. Minor 26, Helena 19. Muscle Shoals 46, May Jemison 12. Northridge 35, Hillcrest Tuscaloosa 28. Northview 38, Russell County 23. Pinson Valley 28, Oxford 13. Shades Valley 35, Stanhope Elmore 28. Sydney Lanier 35, Park Crossing 28. And on Thursday, Wetumpka defeated Buckhorn 23-7.
In 5A, Alexandria 66, Crossville 14, Beauregard 41, Charles Henderson 26, Bibb County 35, Central Tuscaloosa 7, Boaz 35, Pisgah 14, Brewer 34, Madison County 3, Briarwood Christian 29, Winona 0, Carroll 21, Valley 17, Center Point 22, St. Clair County 7, Central Clay County 41, Moody 7, Chilton County 23, Jemison 14, Corner 46, Hamilton 0, Demopolis 30, Benjamin Russell 10, hate that for the Wildcats up there in Alexander City, Dora 35, Lawrence County 29, Early County, Georgia 20, Tallahassee 13, East Limestone 28, Scottsboro 13, Etowah 42, Southside Gadsden 0, Greenville 63, Rehoboth 7, Gunnersville 27, Arab 13, Jasper 38, Hayden 12, John Carroll 26, Woodlawn 6, Madison Academy 42, Ardmore 10, Munford 45, Springville 15, Pleasant Grove 38, Parker 33, Ramsey 28, Fairfield 0, Russellville 53, West Point 20, Sardis 43, Douglas 7, Shelby County 44, and Marbury 18.
In Class 4A statewide, some scores that I found very interesting. American Christian 70, Montevallo 54, Hillcrest Evergreen 41, Andalusia 10. I believe Hillcrest and Hillcrest Evergreen and Mobile Christian have a big matchup coming up. You also have Aniana 39, Asheville 14, Montgomery Academy 43, Prattville Christian 13, St. James 27, Dadeville 14.
I'm looking over in 3A, Beulah 42, Southside of Selma 34, Colbert Heights 18, East Lawrence 6, XL, big win for XL last night, 39-6 over Alberta.
You know, we're looking at some more of the 3A scores. You look at Houston Academy. Jamie Riggs and Houston Academy beat Strawn last night 31-7. Both of us have played Strawn, and we know what a good football team that is. You look on down Piedmont, Mark, of who you're familiar with. Mm-hmm. Piedmont, who you guys have played in state championship play, defeated Weaver last night 21-21. Up in Montgomery, Pike Road 31, Bullock County 28. Up in Montgomery, Jimmy Perry and St. James defeated Dadeville 27-14. I think somebody's already said that. But as we keep on looking there, guys, Steve was talking about Colbert County and where Steve Mass coached many years ago. Colbert County won last night, and it was like 39-14 over Hatton. Pretty interesting there. And down in 1A, Coosa Christian's in our area. They defeated Decatur Heritage 54-42, Elba 60, Florala 24, and that pretty much gets it for all the locals. Winterboro did beat Talladega County Central last night 39-12.
Hey, Rick, I tell you again, going back and look at these local scores, Viger thumping Jackson 40-6, held Jackson to negative 2 yards offensively for the game. Negative 2 yards. That's amazing, and that just speaks volumes of the Wolfpack's dominance so far to begin this season.
Well, there's no question about that. And, you know, as you look at these scores, guys, what one score stood out? I would think that, you know, that one right there kind of surprises me to the extent that when you talk about the team that Viger's got, and we've talked about this at length, but when you talk about that football team, the one thing you better know that Eric Scott's got over there is he's got a dadgum good defensive football team. There, we talk about in the SEC football, we talk about Clemson, of course, in the ACC, and Auburn having the best front seven in the country. When you talk about high school football, you want to see this front seven at Viger. They are a good, good, good football team. And they go to Jackson, and they hold a Danny Powell team to 7 points. Guys, that's big. That's really, really big. So you better keep an eye on Viger. If I'm not mistaken, Corey, didn't you predict them to win a state championship?
I did. I mean, I really am high on the Viger Wolves. I was high on this class when they came in as freshmen in 2015, had an opportunity to call a lot of their middle school football and basketball games, and I was told by many that this class is going to be special because it's so large, and those guys have played together since freshmen, and there's a large contingent of them that are starting, had a lot of returners on the defensive side of the ball, and I think Viger, the only team that can beat Viger is Viger.
Another one that jumped out to me last night was UMS Wright score, 35-7 over Clark County. Clark County was semifinalist in 3A last year. One of the best teams in 3A, lost to eventual state champion Hillcrest in quite a ball game. And so for UMS just to handle them handily like they did,
right,
tells you just how strong UMS Wright is, as if we didn't already know. They're a good team.
And they are really good. And Jay Cozio has done a great job,
yes,
you know, running that defense. And Terry just keeps on getting better and better offensively. Brandon Dean running that offense. And it's just, UMS Wright is really, really good.
Telling
you.
No doubt.
We'll be back with more PSR right here with our second hour, coming to you live from Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios right here in Mobile, Alabama, presented by Alpha.
Live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Premier Motorsports Communication Lines. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey Labounty.
All right, welcome back to PSR. Second hour. First hour flies by, guys. When you're having fun, you're talking high school sports, there's nothing more fun than covering that 52 weeks out of the year. You know, I spend a lot of time going west, and I just realized this past week, really about 10 days ago, John Turner and I were talking. We're talking about Biloxi High School, and I did not put it together that Coach Jack French, who has done an unbelievable, remarkable job everywhere he's ever been, as his son, Catlin, is the head football coach at Biloxi High School. And I'm going to go by and watch him practice and just introduce myself again to Catlin. I met him several years ago, but I want to introduce him. He's done a great job at Biloxi as a defensive coordinator. And when Bobby Hall left, they made a great decision to bring Catlin in as the head football coach there. And I called Jack this week and I said, "Dadgum, we need to get Jack on our show and want to talk about what all is going on at Faith Academy." And I got him right as he was walking out of the weight room, Mark, and you know that's a joy to leave all that music behind and just to get a little peace
and quiet.
That's right. Coach, how you doing this morning, pal?
Good, Rick. How you?
I'm good. Are you having fun?
Well, yeah, I'm having fun. You know, parts of last night wasn't too much fun, but, you know,
it's all about being back in, be around the kids and have a chance to talk to them and learn from them and maybe teach them a couple of things. And, you know, we still got to do that no matter how the ball game came out.
You know, I got tickled. I was sharing something with one of my pastor buddies, and he brought you up, and he said, you know, Jack did such a wonderful job while he was out of coaching. I said, hold on. Jack wasn't ever out of coaching. Don't ever think that. He might have been helping spread the gospel in ways that are unique to Jack, but he was always in coaching, because knowing that your son's in it, there was always those phone calls. I told him, I said, we don't ever get out, and I can promise you Jack was never out. So he was. He might have been taking a little reprieve or taking a rest, but that coaching's running through his veins all the time. And I know that the itch kind of, when you got that call, I'm sure it just rejuvenated you. But you're in a great place with great people, and of course, one of the guys that I love dearly is Lloyd Skoda and those guys over there. And I know you're around Matt Seymour and John Bell and some of those guys. But kind of tell me what you kind of inherited when you got there, Coach. It probably was a little bit different from places you've been before.
Well, you know, they didn't look like it at times last night. But for the most part, you'd be surprised, or at least I was, you know, at how much talent there really is there. And I think, you know, they actually had a really good senior class last year. We're a little small on numbers for seniors now, but it looks like in the future, you know, we do have the numbers in each class. So I think the future looks good, you know, and the present's not as bad as you might think, because you have to have a little time to reflect on a thing like this. Last night, for instance, we were trying to set a record. I think we probably fell one short, but we did have four turnovers the first 15 minutes of the game. And still, we're only behind 20-7 at halftime, and came back and made it 20-14 pretty quick. And I thought we was going to have a ball game. Then we just kind of unraveled again. So, but, you know, they can make you do that. Right now, Citronelle's playing on all cylinders, and Coach Barnett and them, you know, they were ready to play, and I didn't have us as ready as we should have been, and that can be the result. But for the most part, I think the program is kind of taking shape.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Joffrey Hutchardson is the running back for Citronelle. He's a dynamic big back. Had an opportunity to see him against LaFleur, but you did have a big region win at Pritchard Stadium against LaFleur a couple of weeks ago. Opened up the season, I guess, is it Boca Chico that you were able to defeat, and now next week you step out of region play and are going to take on Robertsdale. So I know you're just going to regroup and refocus and get your guys refreshed, ready for your next opponent.
Yeah, and you know it's like we've been a baseball team on a road trip. And I tell you, when we left home, we really left home. We told them we'll see you in a month, and that's exactly the way it's going to be when we get back.
Oh boy, isn't that fun? Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
Jack, I cease to be amazed at the things that you're able to do with young people, and you know the passion that you have for children. And the passion you have for that game, when those two mesh, just good things happen. And I'm so glad to see you back on the sideline. It's a blessing to so many people, and I am so happy for you.
Well, you know, it is fun, and I'm around some good coaches. You know, they know what they're doing, and I mostly try to stay out of their way. but you know, once in a while, I'm sure I go where I'm not welcome. But everything that I wanted, you know, and everything, you know, the Lord told me might happen, you know, in this situation, I've been blessed. You know, there's some good people to work with, good kids. You know, they want to do well. And you know, if they keep on trying, you know, some good things are going to come our way.
You're right, Coach. You know, and good things happen to good people. That's just the way things are, and that's the way things roll, in my opinion. And one thing I love being able to see Jack during the season is because he has the best stories anybody I have ever known in the coaching profession. He's got every time I think I got a pretty good story, he's got one better. And it's just a pleasure to to spend some time.
I don't know if they're better, but the show are longer.
Well, you do have a tendency to make a story good.
Well, you know, the thing about it, do you ever have an open week so you can go watch Catlin play?
Yeah, well, last week.
You did okay, last
great,
week.
We got to see a disappointing we brought him bad luck.
Okay.
They lost in overtime to Northport out of Louisiana.
Yeah. Well, they won a big one last night against those rivals over at
Iowa. In view of that, in view of the way things went the week before, he and his coaches and his players, they did a tremendous job of regrouping to beat that bunch at Iowaville.
Yeah.
You know, that was one thing, and I don't know why that wasn't the first thing my wife told me when she walked up to me, but she had two or three other things to tell me something. I said, oh, I can't do it. I was afraid to ask the question, and she said he won. So, you know, that took some of the – even though I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I was already over the loss before we got off the field. You know, the only thing I was worried about by the time we got to the dressing room was, you know, how do our kids feel, you know?
Right.
And, I think we did our best to take care of some of that. And the rest of it, we got to get over it by Monday and get on because, you know, we go to Robertsdale and, that's going to be the last leg on our road trip. And, we're going to have to take everything we got.
Well, Jack, thanks a bunch for taking time out on Saturday morning. We look forward to seeing you. I'm gonna catch Catlin then probably next Friday night. So
good.
I look
good.
Forward to that. You take care, and we'll
good
be
luck,
in
buddy.
Touch. Good luck to you, pal. Okay.
Good luck, Jack.
Thank you. See you, Mark and Corey.
See you, buddy.
All right, bye, buddy. Hey, I gotta say this. I got a dear friend in Sylacauga who I love like a brother, Rick Morris, and Mama, his mama's in the hospital in Sylacauga, and I just wanted to say good morning to her. She's had kind of a little rough time here. She's in a tough stretch, but I know Rick's been spending a lot of time with Mama and always has, but I just wanted to say hello to her, and Godspeed to you, Mama, and we're thinking about you and praying for you, and give old Rick a big old hug from me. And we love you, and thank you for listening to our show. It's always a joy to hear from Mama and Rick, and it's just a great joy, and we hope you get to feeling better soon. You know, guys, it's always good to get – and, David, we're going to get with you here in just a second. We'll get you at the next break. But it's always good to get people like Jack French on our line. You know, Corey, you and Martin know Jack as well as I do. This is a guy that everywhere he goes, it's better every day. Every day is better wherever he's been. When he went to Baldwin County, boy, things just went sky high. He did a great job there. He'll do a great job at Faith as well.
He makes a difference in kids' lives.
Amen.
I mean, and he does
Amen.
That the right way.
He sure
and
does.
Everywhere he goes, that kind of thing follows. And winning goes along with that.
He had been nothing but a winner, as Bill
That's
Bryan
right.
said.
That's I like right. that. Nothing but a winner.
Nothing but
a winner.
Attaboy.
We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5.
Live on the Prep Sports Report Radio Network. It's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to the show.
You know, we got to do some plugging here, Corey. You know, you're a big fan of the band from Southern. So Southern's in town today. And, Corey, you got to tell us you're going to be there.
I'm going to be there doing the PA announcing. So when you hear my
you can't
voice,
handle that, Corey.
Look,
you
I'm
can't,
just going to be
ain't
excited,
no way you can
man.
That.
I'm excited because the human jukebox, as Dalton and I learned on Monday night, are here in Mobile, Alabama. They had a battle of the bands last night at the Civic Center, but going to be exciting at 4:00 today at Ladd People's Stadium to see the Southern Jaguars and the Alabama A&M Bulldogs get after one another.
You watch those two teams at halftime, that's all you need to do.
That's all you
and
need to do.
I'm telling you what, they put on a show. Now, ain't no doubt about it.
I promise.
The game will be great. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. The game's going to be great. But those bands are something
else. Man alive. Hey, let's go to the Premier Motorsports Communication Lines. Talk to David. David, how you doing, pal?
Doing good. How is everybody?
We're good. We got some changes coming around your place here pretty soon. We'll be talking about that down the road. But
we do.
For right now, you guys have got a few select vehicles for some people to come out and purchase, don't you?
I'll tell you what, I sure do. I just got in a beautiful little BMW X1. I got a nice Suburban and a Tahoe. Both with third rows, both really clean cars. They're ready to go sitting on the lot. I just need a customer. I still got three cash cars that bring me about $3,000 and drive off. So those are hard to find.
Those are hard to find. Well, tell folks how they can find you and how to get in touch with you.
You can find us at PremierMotorsportsMobile.com. You can call us at 251-338-9019 or come see us right here in Creighton, right by the McDonald's. But, Rick, real quick before you go, I got to give you guys one. You guys rally up all your cash and put it on over in that Memphis, South Alabama game today.
Well, that's for friendly purposes only. I mean, we don't.
Yeah. Well, how about we put a dewdrop dog on?
That would be awesome. Now we talking. Okay, a dewdrop dog, and you say over in
what's
Memphis, and well, I don't even know what it is, but
Memphis, USA. I think it's about 67.
Okay, whatever you take Mark over. Mark and I'll take the opposite of you. Okay.
So you're saying there's not much defense going to be played today.
I don't think they can spell defense.
Okay. All right. Well, we got a dewdrop dog, and my good friend Powell loves for us to come to dewdrop, and we love to go to dewdrop. I go just about every Friday to settle some, you know, I play basketball with my kids all the time, and we'll bet a dewdrop dog. They never have to pay. I always pay. So we go to our favorite hot dog place.
This Friday, dewdrop. We'll meet there. We'll figure out who's
okay. That'll be great. Dave, thanks, pal.
Thanks, David.
We'll talk to you down the weekend.
You too, pal. Buddy.
Let's go back to the Premier Motorsports Communication Lines and appreciate Chris Brazil kind of being patient with us there. But I know you're mighty excited. You're 4-0, Chris, and a great win again last night, pal.
Hey, thank you guys for having us. Yeah, it was a phenomenal football game. It was something that we needed as a program. You know, Chicksaw, under the leadership of Coach Rowe, is doing a phenomenal job. And right off the bat in the first quarter, they came out and punched us right in the mouth. And, you know, our kids responded really, really well to that. And, you know, we've been talking to them all year long. Hey, adversity's going to hit at some point. And with this getting to that brutal point of our schedule, and it was good to see our guys answer back last night.
Well, Coach, y'all guys have really done a great job this year and playing really hard at Cottage Hill. I haven't seen y'all on film yet, but I've watched seen your scores, and just defense is playing lights out and offense is putting points on the board. And just want to say, you know, congratulations to you for what y'all have done there so far this year.
Thank you, Mark. And we have a lot of respect for you guys. I know you guys are going to be coming over this week, Coach Lass, Coach Leffert, and you. You know, we just think the world of your program and how you guys get you guys ready to play each and every Friday night. And we're glad we get to play you guys this Friday night at home and you know, just kind of a friendly contest, you know, not one of those region contests.
That's right.
We've had over the years.
That's right. That's right.
Coach, last night you were able to score 34 unanswered, and A.J. Phillips, the young man who's verbally committed to South Alabama, was able to score the first two touchdowns for Chickasaw. I know when you saw him on film, that was a major concern for you, but your offense is so explosive. You have your quarterback, Corey Alexander, and wide receiver, Flip Rudolph, to where you are set up to where offensively you can score in bunches very quickly.
Yeah, last night, you know, A.J. Phillips is a phenomenal talent. Going into the game, we knew that we was going to have to stop him. And you know, our defense coordinator, Coach Bobby Parrish, we put in a lot of defensive looks just for us to get better as we progress in the season. And, you know, we don't have anyone that can emulate AJ in practice. And, you know, it took a little bit to adjust. And, you know, we're very proud of the way we responded, you know, and throwing up three goose eggs in the second, third, and fourth quarter after that. But offensively, you know, every night, you know, we got playmakers, and I'm just so proud of our seniors. And, you know, it took us a little bit to get it going, but you know, we scored three touchdowns in the second quarter and got everything going. And Corey Alexander had two rushing. And then, of course, we found a creative way of getting Flip Rudolph the football out of the backfield, and he scored another rushing touchdown to put us up. And then the second half went with Grant Woodruff on the ground and had a big touchdown run for us. But defensively, forcing five turnovers, three interceptions, and it was phenomenal play by our senior linebacker, Tony Pope, that came up a gap on a blitz, batted the ball up, and to himself and took it to the house 26 yards. And that was a big play for us in the second half.
You know, Chris, we talked a little bit about some unfortunate things that take place in high school football. And of course, we spoke about what happened at Baker High School this week with Danny Smith, in which we're so adamantly opposed to that. But I just got a text from a buddy of both mine and Jimmy Messer's, and he said, "Rick, you need to ask Coach Brazil if he's gone in and asked Jimmy if he would like to renegotiate his contract now after being 4-0.
Hey, all I want to be able to do is play a little bit more golf. You know, we talked to our guys about aligning our priorities and, you know, keeping Christ first, family at heart, then our academics, and then football, and then
right.
Sally's a monster truss or whatever it is. But, you know, I've only played golf 3 times since I took over the football job. So if I get on the leagues a little bit more, I would definitely sign that up.
I heard that. You might need to call Steve Mask. I can tell you right now, he's looking for a golf game. He won't play me, so he's looking for a golf game. Well, congratulations, Chris. You've done a great job. You're doing a great job. And, boy, you know, the most important thing, regardless, is you're putting the message out there. You know, you're spreading the gospel, and that's and through this game, this great game that we all love, and it's just a ministry to you, and I know that it's always been that way for you in baseball, and now it is in football. It's really been, as you're the athletic director, you've done that across the board for all your sports, and what a joy it is to see what you guys are doing with that football team. And I'll tell you this, we talk a lot off the air about great hires. Mark Lassiter has been adamant that the best hire that took place in Mobile this year was bringing in Bobby Parrish.
Yes, sir.
And no doubt.
Yeah.
Great man, great character, great coach. He has all of it. I mean, he does. And that's a great job, Coach. I'm just telling you. He's a fine, fine man and fine football coach.
That's exactly right. And, you know, we're just so thankful for our administration, starting with our church administration, to allow us to do
right.
what we do in keeping Christ first. And Mr. Messer is a phenomenal head of school who cares about athletics but doesn't want to compromise anything else for that. And it's just a great place. And I'm so thankful for our fans. I got to put a plug out there for our fans real quick. I mean, they do a phenomenal job each and every Friday night. And, you know, we're in uncharted waters. But at the end of the day, I'm happy for Cottage Hill that they can experience some of the success on Friday nights. That's what high school football is.
That's exactly right.
I can imagine your Pastor Allen. I imagine he's pretty excited too, isn't he?
Yeah, that's exactly right. he's a winner now. He's an Alabama fan, but he's a winner.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah,
Coach.
There
I
you
mean,
go.
The best start that Cottage Hill has gotten off to since joining the AHSAA. Cottage Hill has never made AHSAA postseason play, trying to change that up now with 3 region games left. Again, non-region next week versus Bayside, but you have RC Hatch, Leroy, Choctaw County, and Southern Choctaw left.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're looking forward to that opportunity and getting home. Next 2 out of 3 games is going to be tough. You got Bayside. Then we got that long trip to Uniontown, 2.5 hours. And then we get to come back and face a good tradition program in Leroy at home.
All right. Good luck, Chris. Great talking to you, pal.
Hey, thank you guys for having me.
Take care.
Good luck, Coach.
You know, I looked on the sidelines last night over at UMS, and I always love seeing that big encore tent that now the trainers are taking people in. You know, we're blessed to have encore as a part of athletics here in the Metro Mobile area and the Baldwin County area and all over Mississippi. If you got an injury, you need some tender loving care and taking care of that injury, go see the folks at Encore. Great group of people. They'll take care of every need you have in getting you back into the game.
PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lassiter, and Corey Labounty.
Welcome back to Press Sports Report, presented by Alpha. And we certainly appreciate those Alpha sponsors. You know, I get tickled every time I think about it. My good buddy, Clark Williams, is an Alpha agent. And I absolutely adore keeping up with him and his children because they are an Alpha family. And I have learned so much about Alpha, but I'm so appreciative for Lee Camilleri and Beth Burra and Earl McKinnell and all that they do for us here at Prep Sports Report, and all those Alpha agents out there will do everything they can to make your life as easy as it can be in times that are tough, that are really tough. And talking about tough times, Mark, you've got a situation that you wanted to share with us, and I know we got Jamie Ferguson, the athletic director over at Bayside, on the line. Why don't you kind of bring us up to date on the situation that's going on over at Bayside that we all need – I'm sorry, over at Spanish Fork, right, that we all need to be prayerfully involved in.
There's a young lady who's a former volleyball, basketball, and softball player who's has got a really tough battle with cancer going on, and our athletic director, Jamie Ferguson, knows a little bit more about this, and I'm going to let him share a little bit about if anybody wants to help this family out and to remember them in your prayers. And so, Coach Ferguson, athletic director at Bayside Academy, how you doing this morning, buddy?
I'm doing well. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Coach. Good morning. We just wanted to ask you a little bit about tell us a little bit what – I know we've been doing some things at Bayside to try to help this family out. Tell us a little bit about what's going on, Coach.
Yeah, you know, to be quite honest, it's, you know, childhood cancer is one of those things that isn't spoken about much, and it doesn't get that much support and funding. And so, in that aspect, we had some students approach our administration, who knew Caroline from club volleyball, and Caroline's taking her battle with cancer from the last few years. She's trying to flip it into a positive and bring more awareness. And, you know, she's being successful with it because obviously I'm a little bit more knowledgeable in the subject, and hopefully more in the community are. But she is certainly facing this with a very positive mindset, and she's making a huge difference.
I believe Caroline, she's 15 years old. Is that correct, Coach?
I'm unsure of her exact age, but I believe she's a junior over at Spanish Ford. And we, the students at Bayside that knew her wanted to make an impact for her and follow in her direction. And they approached the administration and asked, you know, can we help? Can we support this cause? And they all came up with this idea about having a gold out week and tying it into Monday. We played Spanish Fort, and so Caroline is currently the Spanish Fort manager of the volleyball team, and so she was there. It was a very, you know, emotional and special occasion. We had a gold out, so everybody in the gym was wearing gold. The two volleyball teams, you know, prayed after the event together. I mean, it was just a great event.
Well, Jamie, we appreciate you coming with us and telling us a little bit about this. I think there is a GoFundMe page for Caroline. If anybody's interested, you can find that. And remember this young lady in your prayers.
Yeah. And I'm very proud of our students. You know, this thing that they quickly whipped together. We had donation boxes at the volleyball event on Monday, and there was over $1,000 in the donation box. Caroline came to our school on Wednesday and spoke at our assembly, and all the students purchased gold shirts with Barry Strong. And then last night at the football game, we had over $2,000 in our donation box. So we'll add it all up, and when we know the exact amount, we're going to have a little presentation for Caroline. So we're very proud of the young leaders at Bayside for trying to put this together to help Caroline in her awareness of childhood cancer.
We're talking to Jamie Ferguson, the athletic director at Bayside Academy. Of course, we want to do everything we can to be a vessel in that situation with Caroline Berry from Spanish Fort High School. I did want to mention this to you, Jamie. I bet I've had probably 50 people that live in our area in Daphne that have come up to me and said, I know you and Randy Bergen are friends, but would you please let him know how much we enjoy the broadcast of y'all's football games? I think I've said this all along. Randy does as good a job as anybody in the state of Alabama broadcasting high school football. And just people walking up to me that know us from our show. And Jamie, thank y'all for what y'all do for your fans and for your students, because they can pick up your football game all over the United States on TuneIn Radio, and that is a big deal. That is really a big deal for the alumni and for grandparents and people like that. And thank you for being so supportive of that.
No, it is. And Randy's a good man, and we're very fortunate to have the opportunity to have his services. So it is. Our families and of Bayside really do like the surf.
Jamie, thanks for joining us this morning, buddy. I hope you have a great weekend and get a little rest before we get back to work on Monday.
I'll try.
All right, buddy.
Appreciate you guys.
Thanks, pal.
Thanks, much, Jamie. All right, guys, let's talk a little SEC football. Because I know Corey's all rant and raved. Alabama's averaging over 50 points a game. And, he comes in here with red on every Saturday, and he bleeds blood crimson red and all of that. And today they're going to probably score. They'll probably score, I don't know. How many will they score today?
I just want them to score one more than that. Well, Aggies.
They got Texas A&M coming in. Jimbo Fisher comes in to Tuscaloosa. And Texas A&M accounted for themselves very well against a good Dabo Swinney team. Two weeks ago, had a chance to win that football game. And, you know, Corey, I don't know where you are right now with this, but I'm going to tell you, I think they score 50 again today.
Well, I tell you what, if the offensive execution is where it needs to be, you know Tua's an excellent passer, and when you have his legs get to going, and you have to, as a defensive coordinator, prepare for two quarterbacks
right. And
two different types of quarterbacks. It's hard enough to prepare for one and to try to stop the running game of Alabama, but then when you put those four wide receivers out there on the football field, now you're picking your poison, and the quick strike ability of this Alabama offense got punched in the mouth on last Saturday, quick, fast, and hurry, but responded very quickly and well, and next thing you know, 62 unanswered points scored by the Crimson Tide.
Well, and on the other end of the state, Auburn, of course, is going to, you know, you look at their body of work last week against LSU, and I thought it was abysmal. I really did. I thought the running game was almost second to none. I thought Jarrett Stidham, again, played the worst game he's played in a long time. It reminds me of the game he played last year against LSU, but he has been such a good football player for Auburn, and for Auburn to win and to click on all cylinders, they have just absolutely got to have Jarrett Stidham playing well. But I'm still of the mind, Mark, and Corey, you know this too. I know Chip Lindsey. I know his offense. This is not Chip Lindsey's offense, Mark. They're still running Gus Malzahn's offense. This is in no similarity to Chip Lindsey's offense.
In reality, you know, and Gus is the head coach. That's what he wants to do. That's what he's going to do. But Chip Lindsey, if I remember correctly, Chip is a spread Tony Franklin type offensive system. If I remember that correctly, I think he cut his teeth with Rush years ago on that, and it's been successful. Now Gus runs a different type deal. Mm-hmm. Now I'll say this too: if you look at Gus's track record, Gus always has his best football teams when he has a quarterback who can hurt you with his feet and hurt you with his arm.
Yep.
You go to Marshall and Cam Newton; those guys. Stidham is a good runner, but he's not a great runner.
No, he's not.
You know, Nick Marshall would kill you with his feet, and you had to defend the whole field because he could run it, he could throw it, he could make plays out of nothing. And that's what – and also, I've always had a – you know, their offensive line's kind of young, and they're really struggling
right now.
They are really struggling up front. They don't have a big power back. Another thing, if you think about Auburn's success over the years, it's been guys like Trey Mason. It's been that other big – they had another big back a couple who just bangs up in there. I mean, good, strong running backs who will hit up in there, and you have to defend the interior.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you got the guy who – the quarterback who can give the ball, hurts you inside, he pulls it, he pitches it, he throws it.
Yeah.
You have to defend the entire field, inside, outside, deep and short, and it is difficult to do. Now, when you don't have that threat in his offense – it's not as effective. It hasn't been, from what I've seen, since I've been watching Gus's offenses, which I think, you know, when they're hitting, that's one of the most deadly offenses I've ever seen. But when it's not, when you can't run one faction of it and another faction has to help, then it just hasn't worked as well as they would like for it to.
Well, I was under the impression that when he hired Chip Lindsey, it was just going to be Chip's offense.
But
it's just not. It's just not. It's the same offense that he's been running for years there, and which is good. I mean, it's been good for us Auburn people, but at the same time, you know, I think with Jarrett Stidham in there, this offense has got to be more – it's got to be more reflective of a Chip Lindsey offense than it is of a Gus Malzahn offense because of the ability to run the football from the quarterback position. But I think they have no trouble today. I think Arkansas, I think Coach Morris is just in an awful situation. He's trying to run his offense at Arkansas with Coach Belima's off with the people he's got, and I just think it's almost a train wreck, and I expect Auburn to win this one big.
Me too.
That's one.
What game jumps off the page at you today?
The Florida-Tennessee game jumps off the page.
So
that's the one. You know, you got two people in Dan Mullen and Jeremy Pruitt that are really, you know, they're trying to seek it, they're seeking an identity. You know what I think, Dalton? Dalton's a big Tennessee guy here. Jeremy Pruitt right now is just trying to get a bunch of tough hombres. He's just trying to toughen up that football team that Butch Jones didn't do. Just to be honest with you, Butch Jones didn't do that. But he recruited some really good players in there. You can say this about Butch Jones. Butch Jones was able to recruit good players. Now, he wasn't able to keep them all the time. But at the same time, there's good players there. I think the toughness is what Jeremy's is trying to implement there. And I really think you're going to see a good football team at Tennessee in 3 years when Jeremy gets that toughness attitude in there and gets players that he really likes in his scheme. I really like that game. And another one is Mississippi State and Kentucky. I think Mississippi State really shows its true colors today and beats Kentucky. I just think they beat them by 10, 11 points. I really do. And I think Tennessee wins today.
I take Tennessee and Kentucky.
I do. You take Kentucky?
I think
Mississippi State just runs them out of the stadium, just like Georgia runs them out of the stadium. Corey's being quiet over there. All he's concerned about is Alabama. I understand that. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile and is the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
And this past week, Nebraska, which is a historic football program, lost to Troy University on the football field, something that doesn't happen that often. And we've been talking about ways to deal with adversity. This Baker situation has been an adverse situation for the Baker Hornet football program. And Tanner Allen, the offensive lineman from Nebraska, spoke up the truth about what it takes to not only be a student athlete, but how to deal with adversity and the next man up syndrome also.
The way I look at it is you're always going to have some guys on a team that resist buying in. This coaching staff has set a precedence of what they want, what they expect, and we have a good group of guys that are leading the way, setting the standards, but you always have a few guys that just aren't quite buying in. And that can be the difference between winning and losing games by a few points. It can be the difference between winning by 30 points or losing by 20 points. You'd be surprised how big of a difference a few guys not buying in can take on a team. So he's pretty much saying that any guys that aren't buying in, either buy in or move out for the guy who's going to buy in. You know, as leaders, we have to step in and make sure we need to hold these guys responsible. Sometimes it's just they don't know any better. They don't know exactly how to buy in. They think they're buying in, but they don't really understand what truly buying in means. So we need to set a good example, and we need to hold them accountable. You know, whenever I first got here, I thought that I worked hard in high school. You know, to be a wrestler, to be a football player. I was pretty good at both, and I thought I was working hard. And then I got to college, and I worked just as hard as I did in high school, and I didn't do crap. Okay? So it's just a whole new level. If you succeed in high school, you know what I mean? You got to be ready to amp it up. Go even harder. It's truly just committing everything. I don't have free time. I'm up from dusk till dawn dedicating myself to football and schoolwork. Make sure I'm passing my classes, and I want to do everything I can. You do an extra stuff. If you want to go to yoga, watch more film. That's what it takes. You don't really get a social life during football season. Either leave it or take it. That's all I got to say.
You know, as a coach, you love to hear young men talk about things like this, about buying in. and is in our in as far as a team. That's why I love the game of football, because it is the ultimate team sport. You got more guys, more moving parts on any one play than any sport there is that I know of. And you all have to buy into the philosophy of what's going on and how to do it. To do that, though, you got to have a little bit of something inside of you that allows you to do that. And it comes through being humble. It comes through listening, being coachable. In my own life, I have to be coachable, not only at what I do coaching football. I got to be coachable about how to be a good husband and how to live in that team. That's a team. We got a team at my house, and it has to work, and everybody has to buy into what's going on, or that family's going to have a hard time. It's all the same. It's all relative, you know. God gave us the ability to choose. He gave us the ability to make up our mind. We're not like a dog who just does, you know, what a dog's do. He gave us something different, and we have to use what he gave. I have to use what he gave me to make the team work in whatever faction that is. You know, there are things that go on at school on a daily basis where I'm teaching, doing this, working at my job, and I may not like something that's going on. I may not, you know, like how this is done. I had to be taught a lesson in my school about how I'd make this thing work, whatever I was doing. And I got it taught to me by a young lady who just said, you know, you need to get this done, and this is what you're going to have to do to do it. Well, I didn't want to. Oh, hard-headed Mark, I know better. I'm 59 years old. I got this. When I finally humbled myself, God humbled me that day because I knew I was wrong. And I'm not going to go into the whole story, but there was a situation where I had to listen to this young lady tell me, you're going to have to do this if you want to make this thing work. And it worked. And it's worked ever since. God gave me her to tell me, you need to straighten something out in your life. That's part, to me, that is part of being a team, buying in. I had to buy into the team, and I just thank God for giving me that option today.
You know, when I heard that, and I heard Tanner Allen, of course, first thing I thought about was our Tanner Allen from UMS that plays baseball at Mississippi State. But when I heard that and got into that, and Corey, thank you for that. That's a great segue into this. When you think about buying into a plan, I think about Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, and the Beatitudes, and his plan for how we should live our life. And that Sermon on the Mount is our guideline, it's our rule book, it's our textbook for how we should go about facing the mountains and the valleys of life. And Tanner Allen just gave you a great example of that. 24 hours a day, his life is football and academics. We've kind of lived that as a coach. We've kind of lived that as coaches. We understand that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the greater lesson in that is to go into your scripture and go into Matthew 5, 6, and 7 and read that Sermon on the Mount, and you look at God's plan for our life.
Absolutely.
It's just...
Coach, you're right on target. I love the Beatitudes. Beatitudes, listen, to me is my practice plan for Monday, Tuesday,
absolutely,
Wednesday, and then Friday's game. It's also my game day.
Yep.
You know, it's all of it. It's all of it. All you got to do is follow the plan. As Coach Saban always says, it's the process. That's Jesus' that's process right. To us is through the Beatitudes and other teachings that are written in Scripture that you just have to follow, you know. And God gave us this ability.
Yep.
And too many times, I get caught up in what Mark wants to do. Well, Mark's not real bright sometimes when it comes to being humble. And I have to be humbled. Coach, thank you. I'm going to read some Beatitudes. That reminds me of some things that I just love to delete.
I think about them because I write them down all the time. And it's blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom in heaven.
Absolutely.
You know, I think about that because, sometimes that just slaps me straight in the face. And this past week, we've had some people who've passed away in our life. And I go back to the Beatitudes. It says, blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. And every single day in our life, we mourn things that happen in our life. And when we lose somebody, I lost a dear friend a couple of years ago named Turner Ragsdale, and I still to this day miss that guy. His birthday was yesterday, and I still miss him every single day. And I go back to that, blessed those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And that happens in every part of our life.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
Great golly, stuff, guys. Thanks. Great thanks, stuff. Corey, Mark. Thank you for that. Dalt, thank you for so much and all that you do for us. We'll miss you next Saturday, but I know you'll be back the following Saturday. Good luck to Tennessee. Good luck to all your teams. And remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, He is always with you. God bless you. We'll see you here, same place, same time, next week.